listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, your morning drive for the soul. And just in case it freaked you out, it is not Good Friday. That shouldn't have been in the playlist there as it was. But Ken Ham was quite right in saying that the death and resurrection of Jesus is pretty imperative to all of us. And part of why we need to trust the Bible to be true and to say what it says, which is why we always talk about creation issues here on Fridays with Pastor Warren Worth of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri. Welcome to the show today, Pastor Worth. We're going to be talking about the search for Noah's Ark, something I haven't thought about. Man, I haven't thought about that in a good long time.
Indeed, but many of us have thought about it over the years, have maybe seen movies or read books that had to do with it. And there's a new article in Answers Magazine, the latest issue of Answers Magazine, which is the May-June 2017 issue. The cover story is, Will Noah's Ark Ever Be Found? And the article is written by Dr. Andrew Snelling, who's a Bible-believing geologist who works with Answers in Genesis. And what I want to kind of do to kind of introduce this is, this coming Sunday, the sixth Sunday of Easter, if you're using the three-year series, and this is Series A, the epistle lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 3. And it says, Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. That's from 1 Peter chapter 3, and I just wanted to read that as kind of an introduction, because we often use this very text as a reason for Christian apologetics, when we talk about being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. And also, you'll recognize the language that Peter uses there is language that has found its way into our creeds, like the Apostles' Creed, for example, and the very order in which he talks about things as he points us to Christ and the hope that we have in Christ. And it's interesting, is it not, that he talks about Noah and the ark as something that God really did, but also something that points forward to what God has done in an even greater way in sending Christ, and in baptism incorporating us into Christ and saving us, even as he saved Noah and his family in the days long ago. So people are often fascinated with Noah's Ark and wondering, could we ever find it? I remember back when I was in college in the 1970s, there was a movie that came out that was very popular in which people claimed that they had found the Ark on Mount Ararat. Well, when you read this article in Answers Magazine, the May-June 2017 issue, Dr. Snelling points out that that's really not very likely. In fact, he examines about a half dozen supposed reported findings of Noah's Ark, looks at them, but he looks at the actual geology and the Bible text, which is always a good place to be. And he reminds us that, you know, the Bible doesn't say that the Ark landed on Mount Ararat. The biblical reference is that it landed in the mountains, plural, of Ararat on the 150th day of the flood. That's back in Genesis chapter 8. This is a region, not just a single mountain. Furthermore, explorers have often overlooked the geological makeup of this region in their age-old quest for Noah's Ark, how the rocks and strata in this region were formed and changed during the flood and in the years afterward. The biblical reference to the mountains of Ararat as the landing site of the ark suggests that those mountains formed well before the flood ended. The flood was a global catastrophe, totally reshaping the Earth's geology, and the Earth's surface has continued to change since then. Perhaps the geology of the mountain of Mount Ararat region sheds light on whether we should even be looking for Noah's Ark on that mountain. He points out that today, Mount Ararat is technically known as a stratovolcano. That's a cone-shaped volcano which builds progressively from a central vent that erupts many times. It deposits successive layers of lavas and volcanic ash on the flanks of its growing edifice. Modern Mount Ararat actually consists of two stratovolcanoes, Greater Ararat and Lesser Ararat, that rise above the high plain, which is itself over 5,000 feet above sea level. The summit of Greater Ararat is 16,854 feet above sea level, while Lesser Ararat is only 12,782 feet above sea level. Together, they cover a massive area of 420 square miles and have an estimated to consist of a whopping 280 cubic miles of lavas and volcanic ash. When did this monstrosity form? And he points out that in this article that it formed clearly after the time of the flood, and there's been glaciation and stuff since then too, and now geologists have been able to spend lots of time examining the canyons and stuff that have been eroded on the flanks of the volcano and that have exposed the internal layers. So they can see that, first of all, when you examine that whole area, the flood sediments that would date back to the time of the Great Flood of Noah are down way deep underneath these mountains. Above that, you have lava flows that would have happened, according to a biblical chronology, sometime after the floodwaters drained off the earth. And then you have, at the top of all of that, the young volcanoes, these stratovolcanoes that today we call Mount Ararat, and that's way up on top of all these other layers. And so what Dr. Snelling is saying is that to try to think that you're going to find the remains of Noah's Ark on top of present-day Mount Ararat is it's a wild goose chase, because if it's in that region, if it would still exist at all, it would be far down buried underneath all the lava and stuff that has formed over a long period of time. The last eruption of Greater Ararat was in 1840, and it was quite a catastrophic event already at that time. So as to the question of will Noah's Ark ever be found, and read the article yourself at Answers in Magazine. There's a lot more than we can talk about in the little bit of time we have today. But here's a summary of some of his main points. Based on the fact that Mount Ararat rests upon volcanic strata on top of the sediments laid down by the flood, we can be rather confident that the Ark will never be found on this mountain. But should we expect to find Noah's vessel elsewhere? As amazing as it would be to find the famous Ark, the following details make such a scenario highly unlikely. First of all, repurposed lumber. The Ark may have been repurposed after the flood, immediately following the flood. Wood for construction and fires might have been not have been readily available for several years. Noah's family may very well have torn down much of the structure for these purposes. Decay over time. Wooden structures do not generally last for centuries, even if treated with pitch. Consider the condition of barns built 100 to 200 years ago. Without regular upkeep, they eventually collapse and then disappear because of decay and harsh conditions. And glacial movement. Freezing has its share of problems, too. Some have proposed that the Ark is trapped in a glacier and thus the wood would be preserved from decay. However, glaciers advance and recede. Such movement would tear the Ark to shreds. So Dr. Snelling concludes that it's really unlikely that Noah's Ark will ever be found, and certainly not on the top of Mount Ararat. Today, modern Ararat, which is a recent volcano, and the actual mountains of Ararat in which the Ark would have come to rest would be buried far underneath that in layers, many, many, many layers down that you wouldn't be able to get to. But he ends his article by saying, does this shake my faith in God's word as a reliable account of the historic global flood cataclysm? Absolutely not. The Bible clearly states the mountains of Ararat, not Mount Ararat itself. So I'm even more confident in its trustworthiness, not less so. Also, we should not need remnants of Noah's Ark to justify or bolster our faith. God's word is absolutely true in every detail because God is its author. The entirety of your word is truth, says Psalm 119, verse 160. Even without finding the ark, there is overwhelming geological evidence of that the flood occurred, just as God's word describes. The field of geology is just one of many tools that God gave us to explore his handiwork and to show others why our faith is so reasonable and exciting. So Dr. Snelling's article, well worth reading, in the May, June 2017 issues of Answers Magazine. You can get that from answersingenesis.org. And the article, again, Will Noah's Ark Ever Be Found? Maybe we can relate this, you and I, to the whole matter of Christian apologetics and to people's desire to find proof outside of the Bible that the Bible is actually true. And, of course, there is plenty of evidence that supports what the Bible teaches, but we need to be aware at the same time that we believe completely everything the Bible says, we have to have a healthy skepticism when people claim to find, for example, the true cross on which Jesus died, or the shroud. Is that really the shroud in which Jesus was buried and the resurrected Christ, you know, rose through that shroud? Or in this case, are we ever going to find Noah's Ark or the Ark of the Covenant that is the subject of movies like Indiana Jones? The point is, you know, if such a thing would be found and could be proved to be genuine, that would really be cool. But at the same time, we don't need those things as crutches for our faith. God's word is completely true. We know that, even apart from any other supports. And the fields of archaeology and geology and so forth, properly done, have again and again shown that the Bible is accurate in everything it says. When you're talking about the history of the New Testament, the history of the Old Testament, again and again, archaeological discoveries have corroborated the biblical accounts as being historically accurate. And I think that's a wonderful thing to bear in mind. But coming back to what Peter said, you know, we always want to be ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason, the hope that is in you. We want to do that with gentleness and respect and with a good conscience, and remembering that as God saved Noah and those with him on the ark, so also he has saved us by sending Jesus Christ, which is, you know, far greater even than the rescue that he gave Noah in the days of the great flood. He has rescued us from sin, death, and the power of the devil by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, is at God's right hand, and angels, authorities, and powers have been made subject to him. And you and I now, by baptism, which is what God does for us to bring us to faith into Christ, to wash away our sins, to give us his Holy Spirit, to make us heirs of everlasting life. Yes, God has done great things for us in baptism, and we should rejoice that baptism now saves us.
My guest, Pastor Warren Wirth of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri, here on Worldview Watch, his time. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. It's the end of the week, but I'll tell you what, universe doesn't matter. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And I look forward to waking up with you at that dawn.